Okay, so the second reading of Parshas Vayeshev, we have Yosef in a situation where his brothers intensely dislike him, and Yaakov sends Yosef off now to see how his brothers are doing. The reading opens in chapter 37, verse 12, and it says, "Vayelchu echov lireis es tzein avihem b'shem," which literally translates his brothers, obviously excepting Binyamin, who was a little boy. So ostensibly, they left to pasture their father's flocks in Shechem. But Rashi right away tells us to read into this. He says, because there are dots. Remember the dots from last week? The dots on the kiss? So here's dots on the word es. Lides es tzenevim. They went to pasture the flocks of their father. So Rashi says, nokod al es. The word es, the, has dots over it. And that's coming to de-emphasize the notion that they went to pasture the flocks. Shalei holcho ela lirois es atzmon. They did go, but it wasn't exactly to take care of their flocks. They went to, so to speak, quote, pasture themselves. What does this mean? It means they wanted to feed themselves, they wanted to eat and drink. They didn't want to be bothered by the presence of Yosef, who really got under their skin and bothered them intensely, disabled them from enjoying life. So they didn't go to pasture the flocks. They went to pasture themselves, went to enjoy life. So, okay, let's enjoy life a little. Let's be rid of Yosef, at least for a little while. Let us not have our vexing brother in our presence. And our sages maintain that they also went to privately discuss what course of action do we take now? How do we deal with this Yosef? He is real trouble. He is going to destroy the future Jewish people. He's got these crazy ideas. He's got notions which are downright dangerous, and we have to figure something out. Now Yaakov knows all this. Like Yaakov knows Yosef's brothers don't like him. He's aware of this, and yet, Vayomer Yisrael el Yosef. Yisrael says to Yosef, "Haloi achecha royim b'shem. Your brothers are pasturing the flocks in Shechem. Lecha, go forth. Ve'eshlochacha aleihem. I'm going to send you to them." And Yosef could easily have said, "Yeah, I don't think I want to do that. They don't really like me very much, and these guys are dangerous. You know, they just massacred a whole city, just like that. Are you sure you want me to go? Like, hey, Pop, maybe you can send somebody else." No, Yosef doesn't say that. He simply says, "Vayomer loy." Yosef responds, and he says, "Hineni, here I am." And this is the kind of humility that we find with the Avos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked Avraham Avinu to make the Akedah. He didn't say, "Take Yitzchak and do what? Where? Okay, you want to think about that again?" He simply said, "Hineni." Yosef gets a message. It's not a fun message. It's not an enjoyable mission. However, as Rashi says, "Hineni l'shoin anova." This is a language that bespeaks humility and zrizos and alacrity. Shenizdares l'mitzvas aviv. Yosef, without a moment's hesitation, immediately responded to his father's request and said, "Yes, father. Whatever you want." Afal pi shahi yedeya, even though he knew very well be'echav shesayne meisei, that his brothers hated him, and there was a chance that they would abuse him, take advantage of him, do something that would harm him. He knew this. He wasn't a fool. He knew they were probably scheming against him. However, in deference to his father's will, he immediately said, "Yes, I am ready." And so, he set off. Vayomer lo, Yaakov continues to give instructions, and he says, "Re'ei es shloim achecha. Go and see the peace of your brothers. V'shloim atzayin. Find out how the flocks are doing. V'hashiveni davar. And bring me back word. V'yishlocheihu emek chevron." He sent them out from the depths, what sounds to be like the valley of Chevron, which is a problem, of course, we'll see soon. V'yovo shchema. So he left Chevron, and he came to Shechem. Now, a little bit of background is helpful here. Rashi doesn't talk about this. However, the Radak says, why is it that it says Yosef's brothers went to pasture the flocks in Shechem? Shechem is far away. It's not like next door. You wanted to be away from Yosef, they could have gone like 3-4 hours walking away. It's far enough away to go all the way to Shechem. That's a bit of a distance. So the Radak says that Yosef's brothers intended to demonstrate their mettle, their fearlessness, their courage. They went back to Shechem. That's where the last thing happened. That's where that event happened. When they massacred the city, they said, yeah, we're back. You can do something about it? We're here with our flocks now. It was like a in-your-face kind of thing. They were a feisty group. And the Radak says, this is exactly what worried Yaakov. Yaakov was worried. He said, you know what? This is not a good idea. They're going to Shechem. It's a dangerous place. Last time they were there, a huge altercation happened. There may be locals who are still nursing a grudge and angry. And this is not a good idea. We need to get out of there. So this is why, according to the Radak, Yosef's father sent him. Yosef's father was afraid that they would stick around in Shechem for too long and that something would happen to them. And therefore, he felt that he had to send them. And Radak said something very interesting. Yaakov surely knew that Yosef's brothers were up to no good. He surely knew they didn't like him. Okay, they didn't expect him to sell him to slavery or kill him, but he surely knew there was a problem there. Why would he send Yosef? And so Radak says that there's a suffix and a vade, a question and a certainty. They were certainly in danger because they were in Shechem. Whether Yosef would be harmed was a suffix. And so Yaakov said, I'll follow my gut. I have an immediate real concern, whether something is possibly a concern. The thing that is an immediate concern, I'm going to address first and make sure that they're okay. The Targum Yedison and the Medrash Lekach Tov say clearly that Yosef's message, which is not spelled out in the Torah, just says, see if they're at peace, see if they're okay. But the message really was, you're in a dangerous place. Please relocate. Keep moving. Don't stay over here. Yosef, of course, responds, and he says, I'm ready to go. So the Zohar says, even though Yosef knew very well they were scheming against him, but Yosef was convinced that their reverence for Yaakov would restrain them. Yosef relied on the yireh, on the sense of reverence or awe that they had for their father, and Yosef couldn't believe that they would actually do something to him. All right, he sends him v'yishlacheyu. Why does it say v'yishlacheyu? So he says that the notion of it being far away tells you two things. Number one, it tells you how much the brothers dislike Yosef. Number two, it tells you how much Yosef was deferential to his father. This was a mission. This was a schlep. It wasn't a take a walk down the block. And yet, nonetheless, even though they had gone far away and Yosef was sent far away, he heads out for Shechem. And the Torah says, "Vayovoy Shechema." He came to Shechem. So we have to understand, first of all, this notion of Emek Chevron. Never before has Chevron been described as a valley, as an Emek, as a depth, as a deep. The topography of Chevron is not like that. As Rashi says, Vahalo Chevron hu behar. The city of Chevron is, after all, in a mountainous area. It's nestled in mountains. You're going to say, how does Rashi know? He was never in Israel. That's true. But he knows because the Torah says. When Moshe Rabbeinu tells the scouts who are going to the land of Israel, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was also never in Israel, but nonetheless knows the topography of the land, he says they should go and scout out the area and see everything. And when they actually went, the Torah describes it, that it says, Vaya'alu Banegev, they went up into the south, Vayavo ad Chevron, and they came to Chevron. So since it says the word Vayalu, even though broadly speaking the word Vayalu refers to the concept of Eretz Yisrael, you make Aliyah, you go up to Eretz Yisrael, you make Yiridah, you go down when you leave Eretz Yisrael. So even though that's true, as Rashi says it there, but nonetheless, it does say Vayalu, it says still going up. And in fact, Chevron is in the hills. In fact, Chevron is surrounded by hills. So Chevron is not in a valley. So what is the Torah trying to tell us? Ela, our sages, and expound this and explain what is the meaning of Me'emek Chevron, Me'etza Amuka Shaloset Tzadik. It doesn't mean deep as in typography. It means deep as in profound. There's a profound idea. There's a profound concept that's being played out now. What's the profundity? What's the depth of the concept? This is the profundity of that tzaddik, namely Avraham. This is not even wisdom. It's just something very righteous, very profound, very deep. And that is that tzaddik who's buried, namely Avraham, was buried there by Chevron. And the word Emek, it's like, I don't know if it's about profundity in an intellectual sense, but it's like a deep idea. There's something, sometimes you see something happen that wasn't casual, that was choreographed. that there was something very deep when it was meant. Somebody could use a certain pun. Somebody could use select a certain verbiage. And why did they choose that? There was a profound reason for that. It doesn't have to be that it's very intellectual, but there was thought that went into that. So this is a deeply thoughtful moment. Maybe not on Yaakov's behalf, maybe not on Yosef's behalf. They are actors now being driven by a higher force. It's almost like Avraham Avinu is puppeteering things all the way from Hebron. And this is Lakai, and this is in order to fulfill Masha Nemer Avram, that what was said to Avram, being absorbed in between the parts, Ki Ger Yizaracha. And something within Yaakov knew that this was more than meets the eye. This was not an ordinary mission. There was something profound going on over here. And so, Yaakov sends, Yosef goes. Vayavo Shechema, he came to Shechem. So, Rashi has a problem here. Rashi has an issue. What is the issue? The issue is that it says he came to Shechem, and there it describes a person meeting him, and Yosef asking about his brothers, and hearing that they left. So the question is, why do we have to say he came to Shechem? Why couldn't we just say Yosef was looking for his brothers? You figured out that it's in Shechem. Why does he have to? The emphasis is Vayavo Shechema, as if there's an event that's happening over here. So Rashi says Shechem is Mokay Muchen LePoronius. Shechem is a place that seems predisposed to things which are not necessarily good. So Shechem is a kind of place in which, as he used the language over here, it's the scene of historic corrective suffering. Stuff's gone on here. Sham, it was there that Kilkulu HaShvatim. That's where the Shvatim kind of behaved inappropriately. That's where the Shvatim descended into what we would call immorality. Now, many ask the question, that happened, didn't happen in Shechem, that happened in Dothan. But the Rebbe explains that the machinations, the discussion happened in Shechem. The technicalities happened in Dothan. But the Shvatim were niskalkul in Shechem. In Shechem is where they make the decision of what they were going to do. And that's when Yosef came, there was no more discussion. They knew exactly what they wanted to do. They had a full plan, they were ready to hatch it. So actually it was Kilkulu B'Shechem. It says Kilkulu, Rashi says it. Some make the mistake of thinking that it was nearby. No. It was Shum Kilkulu. Shum Inu is Dina. This is where Dina was tragically ravished and raped. And Shum Nischalka, Malchus Beis David. This is the place where the Jewish people very disrespectfully split off from the house of David HaMelech. Shenemer, as it says, Vayelech Rechavam Shechema. Rechavam, the son of Shlomo HaMelech, came to Shechem. And that's because that's where David HaMelech's grandson was going to be crowned. However, there became issues. And many people followed Yeravam ben Nevat instead of going after Yerachavam. And this was a very, very tragic moment in Jewish history where the Jewish people divided and remained divided in some ways until this very day. The 10 Shvatim are gone. The 2 Shvatim are left behind. The Jewish people separated. So this is all is Shechem-centric. So what happens in Shechem? Vayimtza'ehu ish. A man finds him. Vehine soya basada. Yosef is wandering in the field. Vayishal'ehu ish. The man finds him, seeks him out. And the man asks him, Leimer saying, Matavakesh, what are you looking for? He could see Yosef was on a mission. He sees he's wandering around. He sees he's looking for something. He says, what are you looking for? Vayimer, Yosef said, it's Achai anochi mevakesh. I'm looking for my brothers. Hagidin Ali, can you please tell me? Ephraim Rayim, where they're pasturing? Ayyamar Ish, the man said, Nosomazeh, they left here. And the deeper message is, they left, you're looking for your brothers, they left that behind. They don't see themselves as your brothers anymore. Kishomaiti Emrim, I overheard them saying, Nelchod Dosoino, let's go to Dothan. Vayelech Yosef Achar Echov, Yosef did follow his brothers, even though he got this subtle subtext, this little hint that said, everything you think? It's worse. Yosef still went, following his father's instructions, Vayimtza'im b'Dothan, and there he finds him in Dothan. And of course, you know the rest of the story. When he comes to Dothan, he's going to be stripped of his fancy clothes. And first, they're going to throw him into a pit, and eventually draw him out and sell him into slavery. But let's focus on this Vayimtza'im wish. This is the big verse for today. Who is this man? The Torah does not identify him, does not give him a name. But the Torah does say, Vayimtza'im ish. And then after it says, a man found him, then it says Vayishal Ehu Ha'ish. That's even stranger. Not only to say a man found him, the man. Who was the man?
Angel.
Who was this man? Well, not so simple. So before we go to Rashi, I want to tell you that the Ibn Ezra says, Derech HaPshat, you want to know Pshat? Derech, passerby. A phantom passerby. Why doesn't he have a name? I don't know, because his name is not relevant. What was his name? We don't know. We don't care what his name was. A man found him.
Why is the passage even relevant then?
What is the relevance of this man?
What is the relevance of this man?
Or the passage?
Well, clearly Yosef came, was looking for his brothers. How did he get to Dothan? How else did he get to Dothan? There's like a missing link in the story. Yosef went to Shechem, his brothers weren't in Shechem. How do we know they weren't in Shechem? He found a man, he said, I'm looking for my brothers. You looking for your brothers? Oh, they're over there in Dothan. Dothan is an area, it's like a suburb of Shechem. It's not far away. Till today, it's a village called Dothan. It's not far from Shechem. So, there is another Dothan, by the way, which is far away. People confuse the two. They're not one and the same. It seems... Well, there could be a kibbutz and all kinds of things. People would use names, but I'm pretty sure there's an Arab village not far from Shechem with the name Dothan. And these names are ancient names. They used to be Jewish villages that were captured by the Arabs, and the Arabs modified the names and lived there. So anyway, there seems to be something going on, but the Ibn Ezra says, no, don't read into this. Don't read into this. He's whatever. It's a man. This is what happened. Yosef came. There's a man, and he asked him. The Tosfos Lahadar Zakenim says, which Lahadar Zakenim is a later version of the Balei HaTosfos that was printed only a few decades ago from manuscript. He says it was Rafael HaMalach. So there are a few archangels. We have Gavriel, who's the archangel on the left. He's the Eshman, the fire, the Gvura. We have Michael, who represents Chesed, kindness, and water. And then we have Rafael, represents compassion and mercy and healing. So the Tosva says it was Rafael HaMalach. How'd you get to Rafael HaMalach? Because he says Ish is the gematria of Rafael. Aleph, Yud, Shin spells 311. And Rafael is also 311. Resh is 200. Pei is 80. And then Lamed is 30. So there you go.
The one for Chesed to help him.
So it makes sense. He's like a... If not a chesed malach, at least he's a compassionate malach. Look what Rashi says. Rashi says, V'yimseo ha'ish ze Gavriel. This is the archangel Gabriel. Gavriel. Now Gavriel is a malach of Gvura, punishment. Why would Rashi say that? I said, what do you mean? Because it says in the book of Daniel, that Daniel Anavi says, V'ha'ish Gavriel. So there is a man. Now sometimes it says V'ha'ish Moshe. It's definitely not Moshe Rabbeinu. We know it's not Moshe. So the only other time in the Torah we find V'ha'ish is with Daniel. With Gavriel in the book of Daniel. So, let's draw a line. From the book of Genesis, we go to the book of Daniel. There it says Ha'ish and it's Gavriel. Here it says Ha'ish and it doesn't say who he is. It must be the concept of Gavriel. Of course, the question for us is, Gavriel? Gavriel the Malach? Yosef is getting punished? He's like a tzaddik. He's doing everything his father says. He's putting his life in danger. He knows that his brothers may be up to no good. The man is telling him, your brothers are up to no good. You say you're looking for brothers, and they say, yeah, we're not interested in that. They have distanced themselves, says the Malach. I'm looking for my brothers. They distance themselves from that, says the Malach back. So he's trying to save him. You know, the Rebbe once told over a story that he heard from his Malamed, and he's a little boy, that there was a little boy who would come to Cheder every Friday, and every Friday they would go over the Parsha of the week. They would learn whatever they were learning during the week, Chumash and Rashi, but Friday they would go over the Parsha. So one little boy showed up one year, and they came to this Parsha of Vayeshev, and the little boy announced in Yiddish, Er halt nicht von Yosefim. He's not impressed with Yosef. He's not impressed with him anymore. He's over Joseph, they would say in English. So the teacher said, Halt nicht von Yosefim? What do you mean? Who are you to be? He says, why is he going? Doesn't he remember what happened to him last year? So what is the Malach's telling him? They distanced themselves. The Malach's telling him they went away. Now, why would that be Gavriel? Okay, it's true. It says Vahish Gavriel. It does say that, but like, L'chayre, why wouldn't Rashi take the approach of the Balei HaTesvos? So, the Rebbe has a fascinating interpretation on this, beautiful explanation. And really, the question could be asked doubly. Why did Rashi have to say it's an angel altogether? The Balei HaTesvos will tell you Midrashim. Rashi is saying Pshat. Ibn Ezra says, Derech HaPshat, it's a phantom passerby. Why does it have to be a guardian angel? And anyway,
he's saying that he heard what the brother said.
So he heard. Yeah. There's not stuff like that happen all the time. We call it Hashgacha Pratis, divine design. Somebody happened to go, somebody happened to ask, somebody happened to hear.
But in last week's Parsha, there was also the reference to the Malach as being Ish, right?
So which Malach as being Ish?
The one that battled with Yaakov. It didn't say specifically a Malach, did it?
No, it didn't say a Malach, that's true.
Right, so why would you assume that Ish here, that they're just saying some passerby?
Because a passerby meeting you and asking you what are you looking for is one thing, but somebody jumping you in the dark of the night and beating the heck out of you till the morning, it doesn't make any sense. And then he says, okay, I got to go now.
No, but Rabbi, the whole relevance is like the Torah could just said, Yaakov just says, go find about the Shlom, your brothers, right? Not Shechem. So there's obviously a relevance to Shechem and Dothan.
Clearly there's a reference to Shechem, but you see, Ibn Ezra is quite comfortable saying, Derech HaPshat, the Ish was a passerby. Why couldn't it have been a passerby? Why couldn't it have been somebody who happened to see a person and say, what's going on? So, your brother's left.
Because this is starting all the sequence of going.
Yeah, of course, starting the sequence. That's what we call the real Hashgacha Pratis. A person happened to be at that time, and he happened to tell him, your brothers you're looking for? Ah, they went to Dothan. Now we have the missing link. Now we know how Yosef ended up going to Dothan. He didn't have a GPS. How was he going to find him?
There's Malachim appearing all the time. Just go,
I understand.
Yaakov is greedy to come back to Israel.
There's a reason for that too. If that doesn't say Anoshim, that says Malachim. It's a Vayishlach. Yankiv Malachim. It says he sent Malachim. But the thing is, it could be messengers. Messengers sometimes also mean Malachim. So over there, Rashi says it means Malachim Mamash. Why do we know that? The Rebbe talks about that. He says Yaakov would never endanger the life of another person. He knows Esav's a monster, and he knows 400 people are coming armed to the teeth, and they'll show up and say, hi, we're Yaakov's. Boom. Ended that. So Yaakov wouldn't do that. He had to send a Malach. You can't just assume it's a Malach. The Mefarshim asked this. The Maharal of Prague asked this. Sivzei Chavim asked this. So where did Rashi get this idea that it's a Malach? Why did he have to say it's a Malach? Say nothing. Say nothing. How did they say? ZG. Zog garnished. Zog garnished. Don't say anything. The Pasuk says, V'yimsa, is there a problem with this Pasuk? There's no problem with the Pasuk. Rashi deals with the issue when there's a problem. What is the problem here? A man found him. Fine, a man found him. Why did a man found him? Because he found him. How dare he find him? How dare he speak to him? How dare he overhear what the brother said? He overheard. What is it? It's 11, it's 10 people. They make a lot of noise, you know? A whole minion of noisy Jews. You heard them saying, we're now moving to Dothan. like, really? It's a big chiddush that it's Malach Gavriel. And by the way, it's not even so pashut. You see, the Balei HaTesvos were convinced that it was Rafal, not Michal. And not Gavriel.
Okay, but which angel it is? That's a different story.
But Rashi doesn't just say Malachoya. He says which angel it is. So the Rebbe says that the answer is to be found in Vayimtza Ehu. It doesn't say he met a person. It doesn't say he chanced upon a person. It says Vayimtza Ehu. Who is that? Who is that? Who found him? Who found who? The Malach found him. The Ish found him. How would the Ish know to look for him? This was like a man with a mission. He came to find Joseph. Where did he come from? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't say v'yiv geshehu. It doesn't say he bumped into him. He encountered him. He shall ish le niska be Yosef v'mikra. This is not a chance encounter or meeting. Chipes es Yosef. He was looking for Joseph. Achamatzah, I say, he's looking for Yosef. Then comes the question, why was the man looking for Yosef? How did he even know who Yosef is? He sought him out. Therefore, Rashi says it has to be a Malach. This was somebody who knew what he was looking for. It only could be a Malach. Nishtach ha'idei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He sent back HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Limtzes Yosef. U'lesaper le'edis Echov. As you said, there's a big story about to unfold there. There's some very profound stuff that's going down. So the Rebbe says, but why Gavriel? Why Gavriel? the Baalei Teisa right, should be Rafal. And Rebbe says something amazing. Mataras HaShlichus, know what the Shlichus was about? Livchein Ulanases is Yosef. This was to test Yosef. Ha'im Yamshir Bedarkei, will he continue on his way? L'malei HaShlichus Aviv, will he follow the mission? Will he continue to carry out the job that his father gave him, Lidrish B'Shleim Mechav? Or will he lose his courage and say, forget it, I can't do this? And this is Gam La'achre, she is Galilei, Shem Zoymimim Lihisnakel Olav. He knows they're scheming. He now knows it. The Malach said, they've distanced themselves. You're looking for your brothers. That's not the way they see themselves. They've gone away from that. And Yosef continues to go forward. He knows they might want to harm him. Gavriel says to him openly, Hisiyu Atzma. V'lachein Nishlach L'matarazu Malach Gavriel. This was not a Malach who came to save Yosef. This was a Malach who came to test Yosef. And therefore, the perfect person, if you're going to test somebody, that's Midas HaGvura. That's not kindness. That's discipline. That's severity. That's judgment. Will he have the strength? Will he follow through or not? This is the big question. And therefore, the one who is most suited for that kind of shlichus, to throw hurdles in the pathway of Yosef, so to see if he'll keep the promise and follow through with the mission his father gave him, that was specifically being Malach Gavriel. And I know what you're thinking, but shliach mitzvah, how did he get hurt? The answer is...
It could be the angel of compassion.
No, it's not an angel of compassion. He's testing Yosef. He's testing him.
He's
testing him. No, it's not punishment, but a test is no fun either. A test is not compassion. We say, God, please don't test us. A test comes from Gvura. And you're going to say, but Yosef got harmed. And the answer is, no, he didn't. What happens from this? He becomes the viceroy of Egypt, and the stage is set for the ultimate birth of the nation of Israel that will come through going down into Mitzrayim, from which comes the Exodus, from which comes Am Yisrael, the nation of Israel.
Thank you. So why